Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Let me bring in Cathy Chambino da Silva in Portugal. Cathy, sorry for holding you there.
You're Andrew.
Okay, what's happening? Vera mentioned Christmas. You want to mention Christmas?
Yes, I do, Joe. I suppose, really, I was listening in to some of the callers this week talking about your campaign, COVID Can't Cancel Christmas, which is wonderful, and it's lovely to hear something joyful and positive and people looking forward to making the most of Christmas under the circumstances. But it did get me to thinking about many of us who are living abroad and would traditionally always come home for Christmas, and in fact would be looking forward to that, and whether or not there might be any plans to have rapid testing at Dublin Airport. And I say this really, I suppose, I would have elderly parents living in Dublin. We haven't seen our family since Christmas 2019, and having had a number of trips planned back this year, our family decision was to respect the Irish government's advice to avoid unnecessary travel, although it depends what you call unnecessary. I suppose emotionally it's necessary, but I have so many friends and family living abroad who are in the same boat, and it was really just to try and see if there was going to be any decision by government or by Dublin Airport Authority to try to maybe facilitate some of the people who'd like to come home at Christmas and touch base with their families. I was reading through an Irish Times headline from last year in Christmas 2019 talking about 1.2 million people expected to travel through Dublin Airport. So, you know, I think a lot of people are very respectful of the guidelines. I mean, you know, as I said, I'm living in Portugal and we have been respecting the guidelines here, respecting the guidelines in Ireland, and watching the two countries really as to where there might be a break.
Cathy, you're saying I want to come home from Portugal for Christmas. What is the situation as of now in Portugal, one with COVID and two in the airports as you depart?
Well, at the moment we can test before we depart. So you're advised to get a test, and then you would get your results and self-isolate 2 days before you depart. But the issue really is what happens between if you test negative and you travel, what happens in the airport, what happens on the flight. So imagine if you were able to land and you were able to have a rapid test in the airport, which would tell you then hopefully you tested negative 2 days beforehand, you haven't gone anywhere, you've just gone to the airport, you've had your mask on the whole time, you've travelled on your flight with your mask on, and you've landed. Now, I do know of some friends who've come back and have done that. They've tested abroad, they've tested negative.
Would people pay the extra? It will cost.
Well,
there will be queues. The queues can be bad. Well, they've improved the passport, but are people going to put up with all that queuing and testing? And what happens if someone tests positive? Does the whole flight have to
self-isolate? Well, I suppose there could be people who would be travelling already and might not know that they're positive. Not everybody getting on a flight now is doing a test before they leave. Some people are just arriving, aren't they, and filling in the form when they land. But they wouldn't necessarily know whether they were positive when they travelled.
Okay, but you land in Dublin Cork or Shannon. You say, well, I don't know how quick they're improving all the time, but they're improving because of money. I know there was a test developed, I think, by the Oxford group, and that would do it in 90 minutes. But it can only do, one machine can only do 16 people a day, obviously. Not obviously, but it can. So I can imagine the logistics of that with 1.3 million people coming home.
I think at one stage they were looking at, because at the moment, I suppose, when you land, you're obliged to isolate for 2 weeks. So I think, you know, it's very difficult for people who are abroad to say to come back, even for a quick socially distanced visit. You know, if you wanted to maybe see your parents in their garden or stay in a hotel for a few days. I don't know. I suppose I was just putting it out there. Maybe people would have ideas to see.
Okay. And
maybe there's other people thinking about it. There's a lot of people who might be looking at how would it be possible, you know, to have some sort of family interaction at Christmas. Perhaps it's not going to be. Perhaps that's just the way it's going to be, that it won't be this Christmas.
It would be horrific. That's blow after blow after blow. It'd be awful.
Yeah.
Tell us, Cathy, because Portugal, first of all, I'm trying to look at the sequence now. I think it did well, then it went up and then it went down again. How is Portugal at the moment and why?
We're in a state of contingency. That's what they're calling it at the moment. And that's in place until the 14th of October. They've introduced this, the government has introduced this to try to reduce the risk of infections. And there's quite a number of new measures. Now, the one thing I would say, Joe, is that the Portuguese have been very compliant and we've all been wearing masks since practically after St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Quite recently, my daughter started back in secondary school last week, and, you know, all the children are obliged to wear masks. The teachers are obliged to wear masks. The kids seem to be, my daughter's a teenager, they seem to be, you know, adhering to that regulation reasonably well. I would walk down the streets and I would say 95% of the people of all ages are wearing their masks. The other regulations that have come in are meetings of more than 10.
Okay.
That would be the maximum, are forbidden. Commercial establishments, so your shops and cafes and things, can't open before 10 a.m. and they must close between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. depending on what municipality you live in. If we go to the shopping centre, we can only sit in a group, a maximum of 4 per group. Interestingly enough, the selling of alcoholic beverages is prohibited now at service stations after 8 p.m.
Wow, okay.
Because we had a huge problem with people, you know, you can buy beer in the service stations here. And there was a
same here, by the way. Same in Ireland,
yeah. It's one of their biggest
profit makers in service stations.
Okay, I'd never buy beer. I would have bought a coffee, a takeaway coffee in the garage.
Well, I'm not saying you can buy an Irish coffee, but you can buy whiskey, you can buy beer,
you can buy
slabs of beer.
Okay.
And you're saying, let's listen to this. You're saying in Portugal...
So in the service stations now, after 8 o'clock, they cannot sell alcoholic beverages. That's to try and break up the groups that were gathering.
Yeah, okay.
And you can imagine in the summer, hot, evenings,
of course, people
having a few beers and big gangs.
And what about that
actually led to a lot of the problems in Lisbon, to be honest. That was one of the reasons we had the elevated cases in Lisbon.
Okay, what about bars? Are they open?
Yes, but again, after 8 o'clock, you can't have a drink unless it's with a meal.
Okay.
So, now, and our culture, the culture here would be very much around, you know, people don't drink a lot without food, Joe.
Yeah, okay. I understand
We just don't. We would, you know, you're not sort of standing around drinking pint after pint after pint. You're normally drinking with food. It's the Spanish, it's the Italian, it's the Portuguese, it's part of the culture. So no drinking of alcoholic drinks on public roads. That's now forbidden as well. Mm. 4 people in cafes within 300 metre proximity of the schools. Now, that's because all the kids come out of school and they congregate in the cafes. That's where they go. They have a coffee or a soft drink and a sandwich after school. So they're saying that the school kids can only be in groups of 4. And then there's an... They're introducing upgrading of the schools to new, to have higher sort of sanitary and health measures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my daughter actually came home with three free reusable masks from school the other day. So they're providing masks in the school, they're hand sanitizing on the way in. The only problem is that they're all sitting in the same room. They used to swap rooms for different classes. Now it's the teachers who are coming in and out.
And do you think the Portuguese people are very compliant, Cathy? Like when you walk out on the street, are most people wearing masks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are. They're compulsory on public transport. They're compulsory
in
shops.
They are here as well, and in shops.
And but really, yes, they are extremely compliant. And there's a real, it's a very family-oriented society as well, Joe. You know, an awful lot of the child-minding would be done by the grandparents. So there's a real consciousness and respect of the fact that older people are more vulnerable to COVID-19. And therefore, you know, remember your grandparents, remember, you know, to be careful, remember to curtail your social activity. Now, the other thing I would say is, I mean, throughout the summer, which was really, really, really harsh, you know, I have a 17-year-old daughter. Now, she wasn't seeing her friends because the other mums were keeping them at home. They were very frightened. They were very scared. So there wasn't, even though there were these really hot days, there wasn't the normal activity amongst the teenage kids that would have gone on, you know, on other summers, and mixing and going into town at night, you know, because I think the parents were saying, you know, no, you must stay at home. It's not safe. So I do think that there is a mentality of compliance, and I think there's a respect as well for trying to follow our guidelines and our regulations. Now, of course, you're always going to get people who are going to, you know, thwart the rules and thwart the regulations. But certainly the area that I'm living in, which would be about the size of Galway, say, you know, and a sort of a nice urban environment, I'm very conscious when I go out of everybody wearing their masks on the street. People in cars with their masks on as well.
I don't think, it's happening here to a greater extent, but not to the extent I think that you're describing there in Portugal, Cathy. Cathy, what brought you to Portugal, so to speak? Why not?
Oh, Joe. Love.
Love, okay. Great.
Love,
okay.
And my husband. Husband's Portuguese.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And but you're saying, it's the correct time to bring it up. What are, insofar as anyone can predict, what are the plans for that over a million people who normally come back to Ireland each year for Christmas? Cathy, you've thrown it out there, but I hope, as you say, what brought you to Portugal was love, but what brings most people home at Christmas is love as well for their extended family.
Well. It is. Yeah, I'd love to see my parents. I really would.
Okay. Where are they living, Cathy? Where are they based?
They're in Dublin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, stay well, you and your family. Thanks for that insight and
Thank you.
What's going to happen? Thank you, Cathy. That's Cathy Chambino da Silva in Portugal. 515-51, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.